Good morning. We ended off last week discussing the case. A person went shopping. After he unloaded his shopping cart, he left it in the parking lot. Sure enough, a wind comes and smashes it into the Lexus that was parked next to him. So are you responsible for leaving the shopping cart in the parking lot? Now, you're certainly not an Adam HaMazik. You didn't go ahead and take it and smash it into the car. The wind came and blew it. However, this is Doima Te'esh, where it's Koyach Acher M'urubba. You put the shopping cart in an open, exposed area. The wind, which is a Koyach Acher, came and blew it into the parked car next to you. And therefore, Zaktaisvis, this, you'd be chai because of Esh, Koyach Acher M'urubba, you'd be responsible. Now, obviously, this is only a case where it's a Ruach Matsuya, where it's a typical wind. A common wind. On the other hand, if you had the bad mazel, you had bad mazel twice. First of all, you're parked next to a Lexus. And second of all, after you walked away from the shopping cart, if then a tornado came and an unusually strong wind came and smashed it into the car next to you, that is a Ruach Sheina Matsuya. There would be no liability. Taisis that says your chayiv is certainly only by a Ruach Matsuya. So basically, if it's a Ruach Sheina Matsuya, if it's a hurricane, it's a strong wind, we'll be magdir that a little bit more later, then you're certainly going to be patur. On the other hand, if it's a Ruach Matsuya, according to Tosis, you're chayiv. Now, we mentioned last week that Rashi and the Nachas David Passons like this, the Halacha argues, and says there's a very big, basic difference between Eish and this case. When you light a fire, so you light a fire in your bay, you're making a barbecue in your backyard. Along comes a Ruach Matsuya, and it spreads the fire, the wind blows the fire, and it spreads and it burns down your neighbor's house. So it's true you needed the wind to spread the fire from your grill to your neighbor's house. However, the wind was just doing the transport. It was just taking it from where you lit the fire to where the damage actually happened. The damage itself is being done by your fire, by your eish, and that's why you're responsible. Zakta Nachlis David, that's limited to cases where your fire burns it. On the other hand, when you leave a shopping cart in a parking lot, the wind comes, smashes the shopping cart into the car. Was it your koyach that dented the car? No, you just left it there. When the wind in that case is not acting just as transporting it from one place to another, the koyach of the wind, the force of the wind, is what's causing the damage in the first place. Zakta Nachlis David is explaining the Shitas Rashi that in that case it would not be Esh. And therefore, even if it's a Ruach Matsuya, you would not be responsible. So according to Rashi, you can leave the shopping cart however you please. If there's any damage, you're not responsible. Now, one caveat, and that is, if the wind is already there, you know, if there's already a gust of wind, and you just let go, that would probably be like gravity, and there would be a chiyuv. On the other hand, if right now there's a lull, it's quiet, the wind is calm, even though you know the Ruach Matsuya will come shortly and whoever's parked next to you is going to be in trouble, that is not going to be Eish because it's Koyach Acher M'urubba. You'll have to deal with Hilchos Grum and Garmi, which in most cases you're going to be a Potter.
Isn't the weight of the cart causing
damage? Oh, excellent, excellent, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So it gets a little bit more complicated. This machlokas Rashi and Tosfos is by a delil. You left a pail or a chicken that came and used it and smashed it into something else. Tosfos says that's eish, okay, because since you put it in a place where it's common for a chicken to push it, koyach acher m'urubba, you're going to be responsible. Rashi says, that's not my koyach, because the weight itself can't move. It's someone that pushes it. It's true if it didn't weigh anything, if there was no mass, there's nothing to push. But it's the koyach of the chicken that pushed it that creates the damage, and Rashi says you're potter. The problem is that the Gemara in Bava Basra has a case where a person is threshing, and the leftover shells of the get blown by the wind into your neighbor. Now there's a whole machlokes over there whether you do have to be marchek, not marchek, whether it's a chiyuv. But bottom line over there is if the wind takes it and blows the shells into your neighbor and causes damage, so even if there's a chiyuv archaka, you're not chayav to pay for the damage. Why not? It's just like in our case of Tosfos. If I put something where a chicken will come and smash it into something else, I'm responsible. So if I put these things on the floor where the wind will come and blow it to the neighbor, I should also be responsible. So the Rashi and Bava Basra and Daf Chavav asked this kasha. And he says there's a difference. He says in the case of the pail, or in the case of the shopping cart, that has weight. Although it takes the wind to push it, once the wind pushes it, we look at it as if the weight of your item is doing the damage. Since you put it there, or in some cases it's your mammon, you're responsible for the damage that's caused by you, by your weight, by your item. Zakti Rajba, Masha'in Kane, when you're dealing with the shaft, with the leftover from the threshing, that weighs virtually nothing. He says, we look at it as the damage is not coming from the item. The damage is coming completely from the wind whipping it into someone else's face. So there, in that case, he says where it has very little weight, and the ikar damage comes from the kayach of the wind. There, he says, there would be no achrayas. So even Tosfos that says if by kayach acham urubah, if I put something in harm's way where the wind or an animal will kick it somewhere else, I'm responsible because I put it in a kayach acham urubah. That's only when there's weight, when it gets pushed, we can look at it as the weight of my item caused the damage. Masha'in Kane, in a case where it weighs very little and it's completely the kayach of the wind, that would be different. Now, how to be magdir, when you say the damage is the wind and when it's the weight, I'm not really sure. In both cases, it's there's some combination of the two, but that's the chiddush of Eishim Mishum Chitza. If you hold Eishim Mishum Chitza, when you light a fire, that is you. So much so that if it spreads, it could be your chayiv misa. There's machlokes. Rish Lakish holds Eishim Mishum Amoinoi because I lit the fire, I started the chain reaction, but it's not my direct kayach. But if you hold Eishim Mishum Chitza, once you light the fire, everything that it burns, or even if it spreads, depending on the shita and how far it goes, is your action. It's your action again in Zikin, and could be it's your reaction to get Roteach, the Chi of Misuk, and that's Malchukas Rishonim, and it's a discussion leading in Shabbos. But that's the Chiddush of Eishon Mishum Chitza. So, again, going back, we have a shita of Tosfos, that whenever you put something where the wind will blow it and be Mazik, that is Eish, as long as it is a Ruach Mitzuya. We have Rashi that holds that it has to be my item is causing the hezek, and then we have the Rajba that really qualifies that Tosfos agrees to Rashi in the specific case where it's straw, where it's something which is very light. Now this brings us to the next question, and that is if you do have the misfortune of leaving the shopping cart, a ruach comes, a wind comes and blows it into the car next to you. How do we define ruach mitzui and ruach she'ena mitzui? Now, as we all understand, if a hurricane or tornado hits, you're not responsible. It's ruach she'ena mitzuya. Kayach acham urubah, the chiddush is only by a common and expected wind, not by something which is unusual and oinous, an extreme case. The other extreme, if the wind is already blowing, then it doesn't make a difference whether it's a hurricane or a tornado. Releasing a shopping cart into the tornado winds is your action, and you're going to be responsible. If there is a ruach mitzuya, there is a common wind which the Lashon Rabbim is it blows, it constantly blows. There also, that's ruach mitzuya, you're going to be responsible according to Tosfos. The question is, and this is a machlokes in Yerushalmi, is how to define ruach mitzuya. How common does it have to be? Does it have to be every day? If you have a wind that comes once a month, once a week, at what point do we say this is? What's the cutoff? What is considered mitzuya and what is called eino mitzuya? So interestingly enough, the Yerushalmi quotes the Talmud Bavli by saying that the only time your potter is by a ruach se'ara, a ruach of an oinus. You have an extreme wind, it's unusual, it's a hurricane, it's a tornado, something which is not to be expected on any given day. That is a ruach she'ena mitzuya. However, according to the Bavli, if it's a common wind, even though it doesn't come every day, as long as it's not unusual, you can't say this was an oinus. This is an unanticipated and force majeure. In any case, as long as it's something which happens commonly, that is enough to be chayiv. This is the Yerushalmi quoting the Bavli. However, the Yerushalmi continues that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish both argue, and they say ruach mitzuya has to be a ruach shemitzuya tadir. It's constant. If this is a wind that's there, I don't know whether it means every day or every hour, but it has to be constant. If it's something which is not a constant wind, even though it's not an oinus, It's something which happens. It'll happen once a week. You'll have a strong gust of wind. But if it's not tadr, if it's not the kind of wind that blows constantly, the other Rish Lakish say that is called a ruach in a mesuya, and in that case, you're going to be pater. Now, this is the Yerushalmi. The Rambam brings the Magen Mishnah's Medayik. The Rambam holds like that. So the Rambam, when he brings down the halacha of ruach metzuya, he uses a lashon of a ruach she metzuya tadir. Tadir means it's constant. So it's not enough for it to be usual, or just it has to be something which is constant, which means constant, literally every day a constant wind. And as long as if it's not constant, even though it's not something which is annoyingness, nevertheless you're going to be pater. Now we find two chalukim or two other distinctions in this shaila. The first is the Taisus in Daf Chav Beis makes a chil between Eishem Mishum Chitza and Eishem Mishum Emoina. We mentioned there's a machlokes amiraim. Why is Eish Chayev? Rabbi Yochanan says Eishem Mishum Chitza, that when you light a fire, whatever happens, that's your action. The same way if you shoot an arrow and it breaks something or hurt, then you're responsible because you broke the item. You can't say it's the arrow, it's not me. All I did is pull the string back. That's your kayach, your action, and you're responsible. So when you light the fire and the fire goes and burns something, that's your action. That's the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish argued in Eishem Mishum Emoinon. He says it's not like shooting an arrow. When you shoot an arrow, that your direct kayach is breaking it. When you light a fire and the fire spreads as a whole chain reaction, that's not your kayach. But nevertheless, just like if you own a shar, you own a dog, and it goes and it's mazik someone, it's your moment. You have to guard your moment. When you create an eish, it is now you own that fire, and you have the responsibility to guard the eish just like you have to guard your shar. When your shar is mazik, it's not like it's you did it, but you have a chi of shmira, and you're responsible mishum emoina. Zog Taisvis, that the gedur of ruach metzuya is different in Reyochan and Rish Lakish. Because if you hold eish mishum chitzoy, it's your action. When you shoot an arrow, when you shoot the arrow, you know, when you release the string, you know good and well exactly what's going to happen. Arrow is going to go straight. It's going to hit and destroy whatever you're shooting at. That is your direct action. Zok Taisis, to be Eishem Mishum Chitzai, for us to say it's your action, there it has to be Karev Levada. It has to be more or less for certain that this is going to happen. This is going to be the result. If you have a wind, although it can come, let's say, every 2-3 days, is it Karev Levadoi, when you put the shopping cart there, that you'll have the bad mazel that right now the wind will come and smash it to the car next to you? No. So in Rabbi Yochanan, where Eishem Mishum Chitzai, where it has to be mamish your action, there certainly, unless it's something which is constant, with this wind is constantly blowing, there that's not enough to create Eishem Mishum Chitzai. However, Zok Taisus, according to Reish Lakish, that Eishem Mishum Emoinoi, that when you light a fire, it's like your shar. If you don't guard your shar and something happens, you're responsible for the damage. Now, when you have a shar and you don't watch it, is it a karev levadai? You don't watch a shar for 10 minutes, he's going to go ahead, go into a china shop and destroy it? No, it might happen, but it's not karev levadai. So Zok Taisvis, if Eishem Mishum Emoinoi, there the bar is much lower, and you don't need the level of Karev Levada. It's not Vada, you're going to hit the target, not everybody's a great target. No, it's true. It doesn't have to be Vada, but it's Vada that when you release the string, your Karev is going to go. Now, when you light a fire, you certainly don't need a Karev Levada that it'll travel north and hit that house. You just need that it's going to spread. Now, where it spreads and how it spreads and whether it hits the Lexus or whether it hits the Chevy, that you never need Karev Levada. The Karev Levada just means that it will spread or my koyach will end, it'll get pushed by the wind. It's not just going to stay where it is. So this Taisus makes this chilul. Now, Taisus is not talking about the Yerushalmi. And the truth is, you really can't say that Taisus is learning the Yerushalmi like this, because the Yerushalmi, the shita that holds you need Tadir, is Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is the one that holds Eishem Mishum Emoina. So Yerushalmi clearly holds, even on Eish Mishum Emoinoi, I don't know if you need Karev Levada, but you certainly need an Eish Tadr, you need Ruach Tadr, you need something which is very common. Now, this is the first chiluk. The Tosafot says that Eishem Mishnah Mechitza needs a higher darga. There, it certainly needs karev levada. Eishem Mishnah Mamoinoi may be a bit more relaxed. Now, Tosafot Rabbeinu Peretz makes another chiluk, and the truth is it's very mistavra because of where the Yerushalmi is, the way the Rambam brings it down. What he says is like this. The Yerushalmi is talking about a very specific case. Someone lit a fire, but this fire, he lit a match, or there's a glowing coal. Nothing's happening on its own. If you just leave it the way it is, it's just gonna go out. Is if Ruach Mitzuri that creates the fire, in that case, you're gonna be responsible. Zagar Rabbeinu Peretz, the discussion over there is not the regular discussion of Eish. If you light a fire, again, similar to the chiluk we said before, if you light a fire, this fire is a mazik. Now the question is, how far will it spread? So there, Ruach Mitzuyah, as long as there's a Ruach Mitzuyah that will make it spread, that's enough to be responsible, even if it's not such a common wind, as long as it's not an oinus. Zakhar Rabbeinu Peretz, the way he understood this Yerushalmi, Yerushalmi is talking about a specific case where you didn't really create a fire. Because this coal, which on its own is going to just go out, we don't look at it as a mazik that happens to be it won't spread. This is not called a mazik. Because having a coal which on its naturally will just go out by itself without any outside influence, that's not called a mazik. Now, here already it will depend. If you light a coal, we're a ruach mitzuya, which is tadir, where the natural wind that's always around is going to enough to go ahead and to fan it and make it into a fire and make it into a mazik, we look at you as if you lit the ash, as if you created the fire. Because making a coal where a ruach tadir, which a constant wind, which is always there, is enough to make him to give it the kayach to be mazik, that's enough to be responsible for. However, according to Rabbeinu Peretz, that this Yerushalmi is very limited. When you light a fire and it spreads, as long as the wind is not an oinus, as long as it's not an unusual wind, you're going to be responsible. Because you lit the fire, you created the mazik, and if you're not an oinus, if it's something which does happen occasionally, you're responsible for the consequences. It's only when you didn't really light a fire. You lit something, there's a coal that on its own will simply extinguish right away. You needed the wind to create the ash, to make it into a fire that can actually go ahead and burn things and cause damage. There, when it was chaser in the creation of the mazik, there's a difference between ruach tadir and ruach she'inoi tadir. Now, the truth is, if you look at the Yerushalmi's case, where it says this chiddush, it's talking specifically about the case of Liba HaRuach. And the Rambam as well, when he brings down this halacha, is talking about the case of Liba HaRuach, where you did something which on its own was not enough for it to burst into flames and to create a mazik. So the mashmois of where the Yerushalmi is, and the Rambam, and Rabbeinu Peretz, and the Ra'ah, and the Shita Mekubetzes, are all, this is a very limited halacha. Mash'enkin, if you create the mazik, you put the shopping cart, as long as a regular ruach mitzuyah is enough to blow it, that's enough to be chayiv. However, the Rajba is clearly not like this. The Rajba, when he brings down this Yerushalmi, says, after he brings down the halacha, you need a ruach mitzuyah tadir, says, im kain, the same halacha, when you avne sekinu masay, when you put it on top of the roof, if it falls down ruach mitzuyah, he says, is also, according to Yerushalmi, only by a ruach mitzuyah tadir. So to come out, according to the Rajba, in virtually every case with a ruach, you're going to be potter unless it's a ruach mitzuyah tadir, unless even though you're a wind that's literally there constantly is enough to create the damage. So now these halachas, that you're only responsible by ruach mitzuyah, what's the pshat? How do we understand this Yerushalmi, that if it's not a constant wind, you're off the hook? What happened to Adam Ur-Lailam? So the answer is, we mentioned a few times, that we're not really dealing with Adam HaMazik. What you light directly, that's your action you're responsible for. Adam Ur-Lailam, none of these excuses are going to work. However, when it's Kayachacha Ma'urava, when your action alone wouldn't have caused the damage, you need an outside force, they're already in the classic Dine Hezek, you're not responsible. You're responsible for what you did directly. What the wind blows, what happens afterwards, is not your responsibility. Kamashmo in the Chiddush of that Eish is chayav kayachachem orva, but that's limited. And according to the Yerushalmi, it's limited to cases where it is a ruach mitzuyah, it's a constant wind, and you do not need a ptur of oinus, and that's why even if it's not constant, even though it's common, that's not enough to create a liability. Now, this entire discussion is always in your hidlik is only when you're hidlik b'tayich shalai. You're having a barbecue, you light a fire in your backyard, which in your backyard you can do what you want. But if the fire spreads, we have to figure out with a ruach mitzuyah you're going to be responsible. If it's ruach sheina mitzuyah, if suddenly a hurricane wind comes and spreads the fire, that's not your responsibility. You're off the hook. However, if you're hidlik b'toch shel chaveroi, if you go into your friend's house and you light a fire, there the halacha is different. And there, Kedegar speaks out, since you had no rishus to be there and to light it, you have no taina of oinus, of ruach sheina b'tzuyah. And there, Kedegar says, even if it's a tremendous wind, still you're going to be responsible. Who asked you to light the fire in the first place? So the Shimru Mishpat has a case where a person went to a hotel for Shabbos. And the hotel had a policy that you light the Shabbos neiros in the dining room where you eat. And this person didn't want to do that. He held it was very busy. Yeah, so he lit candles in his hotel room. He left the window open. Sure enough, there was a ruach sheina mitzuyah. A tremendous wind came, knocked over the candles, and burnt down the hotel. So although the halacha is by ruach sheina mitzuyah, generally you're pater. However, that's only when you're malach b'tay shalai. That's only if you light in your own house and it spreads, your own rishos, and it spreads. However, if you're in someone else's rishos, and in this case, even though you rented the room, but the rental had conditions, you weren't allowed to light a fire there. In that case, you're malach b'tay shachaveroi. According to Rikiveger, even if this is a ruach sheina mitzuyah, even if it's something which is highly unusual, it was a freak accident, nevertheless, who asked you to take chances with someone else's rishos, and you're going to be responsible for all of the damage? So now we mentioned last week that the Arba Avos Nezikin, each of them have their unique halachos. Certain cases, certain exceptions where you're potter. The big exception to Eish is Tamun. And that is a Gzeres HaKasev, that if you light a fire and it burns your neighbor's haystack, if there's something hidden in that pile of hay, it's Tamun. The halacha is you're not responsible for the damage. Now this is Gzeres HaKasev, it's not a Svara. It has to be learned out from a kama. It has to be something which is begali, something which is open. Anything which is hidden would have a din of tamun, and there's no chiyuv because of eish. Now we mentioned last week that Chazon Ish says that something which is in a house is not considered tamun. Since a house, although it's covered from the outside the house, you don't see it. Nevertheless, because a house is made to go inside, it's not called tamun. When you're inside the house, you see it. It's only something which is literally covered over. There, that would have a din of tamun. Now, I mentioned that from the Chiddush of Shlomo that he argues on the Chazon Ish, that was a mistake. I looked back, Hitaka agrees with the Chazon Ish, and says certainly something and anything in a house does not get the din of Tamun. Now, this halacha of Tamun, is only when you're dealing with the chiyuv of Eisha Mishum Amayna. Now, if there are Chalukei Dinim, Shor, Shein, Regel, Karen. By Mamon HaMasik, there are all sorts of exceptions when the Torah said you're chayiv, when the Torah said you're potter. However, if you're dealing with Eisha Mishum Chitzoy, if you burnt the fire and it's going there directly, where it's directly enough that it's considered your chitzoy, your action, there the Gemara says you do not have a p'tur of tamah. So if you light a fire, and with a ruach mitzuyah it spreads to your neighbor's house and it burns it down, even items that are tamah, you're going to be responsible for. It's only when you light a fire, in the Gemara's case, and the fire itself is well guarded. There's a barrier, it can't cross over the barrier. The barrier falls down. Now, you have a responsibility, since you lit the fire, you have a responsibility to go ahead and put out the fire or rebuild the barrier. If you don't do it, you're going to be responsible. But it's not Eish Mishum Chitzov. It's not your actions. Your actions are Kolul Chitzov. Since when you lit the fire, it could not have spread. It's only something that happened later that enabled it to spread. Although you're still chayav because Eisha Mishum Amoyna, you had the ability to stop the damage, nevertheless, it's not considered your chetz, and in that case, you're going to be patur on tamun. But a typical case, you light a fire, and the fire just spreads directly to your neighbor's house, there you're going to be chayav even on tamun because that's Eisha Mishum Chitzoy, that is, if not Adam HaMazik, it's similar to Adam HaMazik, and there the patur will not apply. So in practice, it's going to be fairly uncommon to be patur because of tamun. Now, even when it's that your direct action, the Ptur of Tamin is only when you're madlik b'toich shaloi. You light the fire in your house, and somehow it spreads, you're going to be, so in that case, although you're responsible for Mishamamoinoi, if there's, you're not responsible for Tamin Be'esh. However, if you light the fire in your neighbor's field, even in a case where it's, there's no Eishem Mishum Chitzai, nevertheless, we learned out of the Psukim, the Ptur of Tamin will not apply. So again, the only time we really be potter on Talmud is you light the fire in your house, it's kololoi chitzav, you know, there's a barrier, and then something changes afterwards that allows it to spread. In that case, you're only responsible for goloi Talmud, you're going to be go off the hook. On the other hand, in a case where the fire spreads directly, where it's still eishem ishem chitzav, or even if it's indirect, but if you lit the fire in the reshus chaveroi, there the ptur of Talmud won't apply, and going to be responsible regardless. Now this leads us to a significant problem which applies in many cases. We're coming out now, when a person lights a fire, he burns down his neighbor's house. So if you want to know how much the damage is, so you look at the house, you see the size, you see the floor plan, you can figure out what the value of the house was pretty simply. What happens, on the other hand, to the contents in the house? Or any case of tamun, there's a haystack, you burn it. And afterwards, the person says, yeah, in that haystack, there are all sorts of valuable goods. At this point, it's just a lump of charcoal. It's completely burnt out. You have no way of knowing what was really there. What's the halach? How do we figure out how much the mazik has to pay? Now, in any of these cases, the mazik, the nizik, is going to come. And, you know, as we all know, when there's a fire and a person puts in an insurance claim, suddenly, people seem to have huge amounts of valuable items that were in their house. The mazik, on the other hand, generally has no idea what it was. He didn't take inventory before he burnt down the house. So you have a case where the nizik is a bari. The victim says, I am a bari. There was $100,000 worth of stuff over here. The mazik is a shema. He says, I have no idea. Now, what should the halacha be by a bari of a shema? So normally the halacha is, if you want to make the mazik pay, you have to prove it. So basically, every nizik should have to prove what was in the house. He should have to come up with edim that can testify what the person owned. They have to also know what was in the house at the time of the fire. And then he can make the mazik pay. Otherwise, although the nizik can yell and scream as much as he wants, he can say, I'll make a shvua, but so what? He has no raya. He cannot be moitzi mamon from a mazik that denies it. Now, obviously, this will create pretty serious problems trying to recover for Eish, Goslin, or anything like that. So here we find a takana sanigzol that Chazal made a takana to avoid this problem, which is Chazal said that in such a case, the victim is nishba benoita. He makes a shvua, I had $100,000 worth of stuff in the house, and then that the mazik has to cut a check. Although he has no raya whatsoever what he did have and what he didn't have, nevertheless, he is neman b'shvua, the mazik will have to pay the full amount as long as the nizik is willing to make a shvua. Now, obviously, this creates a certain exposure on the mazik's end, because if he burns down the house of someone who is not very honest, he can literally be wiped out. The nizik can make up whatever stories he wants, make a shvua, and the mazik will have to pay. So that's true. So my suggestion would be is don't burn down your neighbor's house. But I'll call upon him, since we have a problem, Chazal made this takona, and it is and the nizik will be nizba v'noita. Here we find the difference, what the nizik is claiming. And that is, he's only neman to say things that he is omer b'kach. If he's a wealthy person, he has a mansion, he says there was all sorts of fine artwork. If he has a reputation of being someone who has the means to have these kind of items, he's believed. On the other hand, if the person is not omer b'kach, as far as anyone knows, he does not have this kind of wealth and does not have these kind of valuables in his house, although anything is possible, no one knows for sure, but if it's not omer b'kach, there you do not have nemanos, there we do not have this takana. Now, the Gemara has an interesting shayla. What's the halacha if one person lights a fire? Now, he lights a fire. If no one does anything, within a few moments, the fire is going to spread. It's going to burn down the neighbor's house. The mazik is going to be responsible. You come along, and I guess a house is not such a good example, But you come along and you take the item that's about to get burnt and you cover it. Now, what happens when you cover it? When it burns down when it gets burnt a few minutes later, the mazik is off the hook because it's now tamon beish. So the mazik is certainly potter, it's tamon beish, she doesn't have to pay. What about the person that covered over the item and made it into tamon? So here the Gemara says you're potter b'dei adam and chai b'dei shemayim. You're potter b'dei adam because you're not a mazik, you didn't damage it. But there's a chiyuv atzis b'dei shemayim, chayiv b'dei shemayim, because through your actions, the mazik is now off the hook. The victim now will lose out. And therefore, there's a chiyuv b'dei shemayim. Now, over here we have an interesting machlokes rishonim, how to apply this, what the Gemara is talking about. In other words, why did the person cover over the item? Was he a Talmud Chacham that knew that Allah, that Talmud is patur? So he went ahead saying, oh, I have a way to get even with this fellow. I'm going to make it tamon, I'm going to cover it over, and that way he's not going to get reimbursed. So that is the way some Rishonim learned brought down in Shita Mekubetzes. And that's why the Zechiyah Vot is Dei Shemayim. However, according to these Rishonim, it's Mashma, what would be if the person doesn't know the halacha? He means well. He sees a fire, he says, listen, I don't have any water, I can't put it out, but the least I can do is I'll cover it over, maybe I'll shield it, I'll give the fireman a few extra minutes to come, I'll save it. Sure enough, it doesn't work. It gets destroyed. And now, not only did he not save it, now the victim has no recourse because the mazik is potter. In that case, according to the Yishayim, you're off the hook. Even Lassidis Yishamayim, since your intentions were good, you were trying to help, even though it didn't work out quite the way you planned, and you ended up causing the person a tremendous hefsid, nevertheless, you were mechavan l'toiv, according to some Yishayim, there's no chiv Lassidis Yishamayim. Taisus, on the other hand, is mavur, not like that. Taisus basically says, "Is mind your own business. Keep out away from other people's items unless you know for sure you're helping." So in over here, even though you were hoping to help, nevertheless, to go ahead and start doing things in someone else's rishus, he says, is akolpana mepshia. You should have known, should have gone to the shiurim on Hilchos Eish, you should have known better. And therefore, since the bottom line is your interference caused a hefsid, there, according to Taisus, there would be a chiyuv lotzis yidei shemayim. So many... What? So, okay, Taisus is talking about this case, but l'chayr, this is a klal, a general klal. According to Taisus Rabbeinu Peretz, if you cause someone damage indirectly, but you're mechavan l'tayv, you're trying to help out, even though you went horribly wrong, it seems like there's no malkum v'chiyuv lotzis yidei shemayim. Taisus seems to have a higher standard, and if you do something which at the end of the day it causes damage, and it's something which perhaps you should have known about, it was a certain level of negligence, who asked you to get involved, there Taisus would say at least yidei shemayim there'll be a chiyuv, even though your kavano was for good.